thank you for that worshipful music. Wow. So, just what we need. We're going to look intently now at the scripture itself. Because you want to be the friend who's going to speak truth and not just what your friend wants to hear, right? Isn't that the worst kind of friend? Yeah, your husband's such an idiot. We need to look at scripture because we want to be those friends to point our friends to scripture. So I'm going to show you some of those, what the Bible says about itself, but I'm also going to show you the personal benefits you will get from studying the Bible. And I will start with a passage from Deuteronomy. Really? Deuteronomy? Yes. Chapter 32. So I'm going to read to you what Moses told the people about the Word of God. And it's, I'm going to read out of verses 45 through 47. So Moses gave the law to the people, and when he had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life." That's our attitude towards the scripture. It's very life-giving word straight from God. So let's think about that as we think, how do we talk to our friends and what do we say to them? So we remember that the Bible is the Word of God. It says itself that they are. It is the Word of God. All scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So R.C. Sproul, y'all have heard of him, right? He reminds us of an old bumper sticker that says, "The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it." Do y'all remember that one? He says, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that statement. It's, "The Bible says it, and if I believe it or not, that settles it." You see, our belief in the Word of God doesn't authenticate it, do you see? Bible says it, that settles it. I think that's a good reminder to us to think, what is the authority of the Scripture and why do I need to carry it through in all my conversations? So it's going to give us truth, thankfully. We know where truth is. And in this world of confusion, this is what we need to rely on. What the Word says, and you probably, I don't know if any of y'all are exposed to the junior college over here, whatever, some of you probably are, or may have heard of some classes. I don't know a thing about it, but I do know generally what happens in the upper class studies of the Word, I mean of the world, and we get a lot of worldly wisdom. We don't have truth. We don't have anything firm to stand on. And so why are we all confused? Yes, because of that. So the knowledge of the scripture is going to give us truth. And it says of itself, it is pure. It is as pure as silver and gold. And we see that in Psalm 19. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of a honeycomb. So here's the psalmist trying to figure out, what's the best thing I can think of to compare the Word to? Gold and honey, highly desirable things in that day and age. And we should view it that way also. Sometimes we find the Word under attack, but we can stand solidly on what it says about itself. And we can also say it stands above all worldly wisdom and worldly philosophy. This is where we're on solid ground, ladies, to think, I can speak truth by what Scripture says, and whatever happens after that, I know I'm standing on the Word of God, and everything else has to be judged by Scripture. That's really important for us to realize, because some of us are not into apologetics, meaning defense of the Scriptures. But if we just say, I'm going to believe it, that's good enough. You don't have to have an advanced degree to say that and to give it to your friend who needs it. In fact, we have Colossians 2:8, and there's a good warning. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And I'm going to say something in here right now to give you a clue of my philosophy, and that is I'm standing on the Scripture even above feelings. How's that? I don't feel like I love my husband, or I have had trouble feeling like I love my kids. That's why those two things are listed as first two things that an older woman is supposed to talk to ladies about. But do you see, if we take Scripture as what is true here, what does God call me to, that can stand above whatever temporary feelings we have, and that they do go up and down. So, our advice and counsel should never go beyond Scripture or without being in conjunction with Scripture. So, we want to be sure, if we do think I have an opinion about something or what you should do, we say, this is my opinion. You get it? I'm not going to go command a lady to go do something which I think might be the best idea. I will say, this is a good idea, this is opinion, but we're going to see what the Bible teaches. That'll be our guide, okay? Because we don't want ladies following us, do we? Just like in our songs we were singing, I want to glorify Christ. I want women to follow God. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have loads of dependent people on me. And I don't want that. I want to teach them how to interpret Scripture for themselves, how to apply it for themselves, and then they're going to go and make disciples, right? They're going to go offer that to the next person. So we're not creating our own little kingdom. We're honoring and glorifying God. And we know we can stand firmly on the Scripture because it is infallible. It does not err. There's no error in it. We may have differences in understanding it, but it itself is solid. It is without error, and it's because it's directly from God. It's God's Word. And if you need more convincing, I will say, let's just be like Jesus. Didn't he stand on the Scripture when he needed to fight against the evil one? He said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here he is, our example, as one who says, even in spiritual warfare, I'm going to quote Scripture. I'm going to use the Bible. Now, I do want to tell you that the Bible is for all ages. And there I am with my English punny literature comment. Bible's for all ages. It's for kids. It's for teens. It's for those over there in the junior college. It's for people with gray hair. It's for all ages. And how many of you are Sunday school teachers, work with Sunday school teachers? Okay, yes. So I also have been a Sunday school teacher for 30 plus years. And I don't know, your teacher book probably says, like mine does, teacher says these words. But I don't use that. I read to my kids straight out of the Bible. I want them to know this is the story, and I'm going to read it to you from the Scripture. So they see me holding this book and know, oh, my Sunday school class is teaching me about this book. I think that's a good demonstration for little kids. Just a little point there. But the Bible is also for all ages, meaning the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, the Industrial Age, the Golden Age. Okay? It's timeless. Timeless. We can say these truths stand firm. It applies to all of us through many different circumstances, many times in history. And we're so glad because we don't have anything better to say. And I don't know if you follow politics or if you follow trends, you're going to find things going up and down, right? Oh, we used to believe this, even following science. Oh, we used to believe this was true, and now we don't. We've shown that it's not true. But we can stay here with truth here in the Scripture. I know this is timeless, and I know I can stand on it. It is something we need to grow in learning about, because what else are we going to talk about with friends? Wouldn't you rather talk about something heavy like Scripture and offer truth rather than unimportant things? Okay, I'll just give you a broad statement like that. Unimportant things. So, the Bible will help us, and I want to make a case a little bit for studying the Old Testament. Some of you are doing that, I know. But I've had a counselee. She comes in and she goes, oh, I don't know if I like the Old Testament because God is mean in the Old Testament. So we've had to start there. Wait a minute. What does the Old Testament say? And I want to point out to you that the Old Testament is written to give us hope. What? Written? I remember all those prophets and all the judgment. No, Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in former days, meaning Old Testament times, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. There's hope in the Old Testament? Yeah, plenty. We've got to look for it, maybe, and we don't get bogged down. But I want you to hear, that's what the Bible says about itself. It offers hope. The Old Testament makes us wise. That's where we have the wisdom literature, right? 2 Timothy 3:14-15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you've been associated with the sacred, acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Really? We see wisdom for salvation in the Old Testament? That's kind of mind-blowing, if you realize. And the next point is, the Old Testament does point to the gospel. We have Jesus throughout the Old Testament. We know that because he taught of himself, interpreted to them all the scriptures of things concerning himself. We read that in Luke 24. So, we're going to look at how the Scripture can now affect our lives. So we start with ourselves, right? How do we talk about something we really love except we're acquainted with it? We're in it. Otherwise, it's just mental exercise, right? So I love Scripture because I see what it does, and I wish I could bring to you 10 ladies and show you how they respond to what I gave them is simply like a memory verse. And they'll come back and they'll say, you know what, that memory verse, I've had it in my head all week. I used it to fight against my sin, or I used it to encourage me when I was really low. I cling to the Word of God. And that testimony is itself wonderful, but you love it because you also know it yourself. And here's what Jonathan Edwards says when he was in college. Resolved to study the Scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. He was committed to reading Scripture. And it's good because we have so many personal benefits. And before you go out and share with anybody else, you share what you know, right? You talk about what you know. And it is that I know Scripture ministers to me. It gives me salvation. It gives me communion with God. And we see in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Or as ESV says, long for the pure spiritual milk. And this approach to Scripture will enliven your soul. Okay? It's not just a job. Can I tell you that? It's not just I need to prepare for my Bible study. It's because I'm coming to the Word thinking I want to learn how to grow closer to the Lord. He has the words of eternal life. We also gain help in times of need. So Roger Nicole talks about Jesus on the cross, and what did he do? And he says, here's Nicole's quote. Jesus quoted the scriptures on the cross when his sufferings could easily have drawn his attention elsewhere. Where was he? He was quoting Psalm 2. He was quoting all the fulfillment that he was demonstrating on the cross using scripture. He was using that for his encouragement, I'm sure. He also gained wisdom. How else are you going to advise anybody? Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. How come we're having all these problems? How come we're straying away, falling into sin? Oh, because we don't really apply scripture. We don't know it. Maybe we don't know what God calls us to do, and then we don't use it. So, yeah, we are like those who are tossed, driven and tossed by the wind, lacking wisdom, as James 1 says. And you will be blessed when you know the word, right? You can grow in wisdom, and it's going to yield blessing, don't you think that? Why are you here on Saturday morning? Okay, maybe your friend invited you. But you're here because I want to get a word. I want to get a word that will help me go out with everything else I need to do. I need to be the wife, the mom, the sister-in-law. I want grounding in Scripture, in wisdom. And I will be blessed. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. That's Psalm 119. Now, I have a couple of friends. We go out to lunch every month, and every 4 weeks. We go to 3 different churches. We go to Sovereign Grace. One goes to Sovereign Grace, and I'm telling my son, you just moved to this in Charlotte. The other one goes to Christ Covenant, and I go to Living Faith Baptist Church. 3 of us go to get them for lunch, and we'll talk about all kinds of things, kids, parents. But one of them has a mom who's 102. Okay? So we talk about all these demands on our lives and things we're doing and things that we care about and are important to us. And sometimes they'll just stop and say, Caroline, would you give us a verse? Okay. Okay. And that's how we talk to one another. We share a verse. Sometimes she will come. One of my other friends will come and say, yeah, I have a verse. This has been really meaningful to me. I want to share with you. Don't you love that kind of fellowship? Don't you see you would crave that? We're like, oh, yeah, when's our next time we're getting together for lunch? Because we are growing spiritually and we're ministering to one another. And we care and we pray for each other, too. It's beautiful. So we want to be those ladies. That's just to be that image of what you could be to one of your friends. And you're also going to gain comfort when your own life is difficult. Okay? So, speaking personally, since I met Amy, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Suddenly, out of the blue, like, really? You're not even feeling terrible, but you have cancer. So, friends have said, Caroline, what is the most important thing we can do for you? Okay, I've asked them to pray for me. One friend goes, can I sing you songs? I go, yeah, but would you just send me scripture? Send me scripture. I have a friend now every day. She sends something. Little passage. And I told you that the passage on my phone somehow hits me differently than it's in my Bible with a bunch of other passages around it. You know what I'm saying? It's like shining light on these verses, like God is with you and God will care for you and he loves you and do not fear. Do not fear. These verses are the ones I need. And she's ministering to me. And I crave that. I thank her for her prayers, but I said, yeah, your scriptures are really what's ministering to me now. So I'll offer that to you. Also, you can share that with your friends. And minister to yourself as well. So we have the scripture as doing all these beautiful things in our lives. But it's also a means of grace. Okay, how do we grow? And I'm going to quote something Margie Tripp said. Now, Margie Tripp is the wife of Ted Tripp. And she says in her book, Letters to Pastors' Wives, delight in God's Word will grease the wheels of devotional life and scripture memorization. You hear that? I'm starting with delight in God's Word. Then she says, vivid recollections of the Spirit's blessing of your devotional times will warm your cold heart when your daily devotional schedule and spiritual fervor are not in sync. Okay? She's being real. She's saying there are times we come to the Word and we're just doing it. We're reading it. But she says, look back on all that God has already done through His Word. Think about those, and that will grease the wheels. I love the illustration because she's not only being real, but she's saying, look, don't stop there. Don't say, oh, this word is dry and I'm not getting much out of it. I have to read it. But it's saying, look at all God has done in the past. He's working in your life. Go to it with that attitude. Be ready for the blessing He will offer you. And what Jerry Bridges says is beholding the glory of the Lord is one of the means the Spirit uses to transform us. So we might be thinking, all right, my life is a mess. I really want to help people, but I've got some problems. I need more Scripture. I need to grow in holiness. But that happens not, and I don't want you to get stuck in this. It's not because you need longer Bible reading. Or, like, you need, like, one of my friends, she goes, yeah, I spend 2 hours and I can hardly stop after 2 hours. Okay, great. And some of us may be like, great, now what am I supposed to do? And I want us to get out of the idea that it's effort. We have to start with effort to get into the Word, but it's not effort that brings us to this understanding of Scripture. It is the Holy Spirit is glorifying and understanding God. You see, it's encountering Him. I don't want us to get legalistic about it. And it's really important to me because I counsel women and that's sometimes what they think. This is what I need to do. And I will tell them, look, we're going to find a time when you're going to study the Bible. And tell me when it is. I'm going to ask you about it next time you get together. And you tell me what you got out of it. But remember, it's communion with God. It's what you're longing for. It's not to check it off your list. Okay? And here's Jerry Bridges again. A major temptation in the self-discipline approach to holiness, however, is to rely on a regimen of spiritual disciplines instead of on the Holy Spirit. Okay? But those disciplines are not the source of our spiritual strength. The Lord Jesus Christ is. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to apply the strength to our lives. Okay? I hope y'all are getting it because I assume a lot of you know what I'm talking about already. The rest of us probably need a little prompting to get into the Word. But the purpose, remember, is to meet God. Okay? It is to be changed. It's not just to be feeling good about ourselves or, yeah, I did that job. Now I'm going to go do my other jobs. It's, I want to learn from God here. And here's another way of saying it. Our devotions don't make God love us more. The opposite is our devotional time makes us love God more. Okay? We're encountering Him in His Word. And we're worshiping. We're learning. We're changing. Because God is at work. And here's Jerry Bridges again. Personal devotions and Scripture memorization are often regarded as a spiritual duty or a means of gaining God's approval and good graces. Those are the girls who want to do everything to make mom happy. You know, we may have grown up like that. But we're shifting now to think, I want to get to know God. This is the reason I'm in the Word. This is the reason I'm encountering Him. And then we can talk to others. We can share because it's in our life. If somebody says, give us a Scripture, give us a Word, or what if you studied that's really blessed you, we're ready. Okay? Because we've had an encounter with the Lord. And it's coming out of our hearts. So I will say, though, that real change is not going to be possible unless we do submit to the Scripture. And I have one of my gals, I don't know how many times we've met. I hate to tell you because that'll show you that I'm like a slow counselor. I don't know, more than 15 probably.
And she looks at me and she goes, you know what, Caroline? I've been going to therapy for years, and I have spent so much money. But biblical counseling offers real change. I've never heard advice that had so impactful. It's just one person, but one person who sees the impact, the change that's happening in her heart. And last week when she came to see me, she goes, Caroline, I know what my real problem is. I just want to love God. Yes. Yes. Before it was, would you please help me with my this, that, and the other problem? Now, I want to love God more. Yes. Then all these other things are getting sorted out. And I said, yeah, you want to keep the first and greatest commandment. To love God completely with all your soul and your heart and your strength. So this is a glimpse of what you will see when you use the Word of God with other people. And you can take my word for it, but I want you to start doing it. And that's really what biblical counseling is, because the Word is effective. It just goes forth and accomplishes that for which it was intended. So how do we get into that? Well, for one thing, you're going to try to avoid giving your own opinions. You're going to use the Scripture. You're going to back up what you say with the Bible, okay? And a lot of us will say good things. Oh, yeah, you should be kind. But let me just tell you from experience, if you give Ephesians 4:29 as your reason for speaking kindly or speaking edifying words, that is powerful. Just try it. How powerful is the Word of God? And you may think, oh, come on, really? I want you to try it, because people who apply the actual words of God will find changes happening. And we need to learn it. We need to know what we're doing, where we're going to find it, for one thing. And I will caution all of us to please don't teach a book. I know some people write books, and it's so great. Books are helpful, but let's not quote the books. Let's quote the Scriptures that are in the books, okay? And then we get into podcasts. Oh, yeah. Some of us really are into podcasts. We love that, and we want to quote this person or that person. But as long as they're quoting Scripture, that's where the power comes in, okay? And they may be very skilled at writing. I mean, I've given you quotes by people who are skilled at writing. But what they're writing about, that's what we want to repeat, okay, more than whatever favorite quote we have, okay? And if we need a reminder, we're going to be in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So some of these people, and here's another whole topic, will change as time goes on. And maybe we don't trust their books any longer. Or maybe they have, they fall into error of some kind. So another reason is just stick with the Scriptures. I will ask this also as we're giving advice, because some of us like to give advice, to be careful to make sure it conforms with Scripture. And I did truly hear this. I went to a meeting once where I was told we should all be praying for an hour in the morning on our knees. Okay, so here's a person who said, this is my rule for prayer. And I'm going to tell everybody that's the rule for prayer. Now, can we say that's a good advice? We can say that. Are we compelled to follow that rule of prayer? I was kind of rebelling against it when I heard it. Okay, really? Give me the verse. Tell me what I need to listen to that makes the rule. And I will tell you that Jesus said something about this, and I want to let us all avoid these extraneous rules, and it's real easy to do it, especially if that's the way our mom taught us, or it works for me, so you got to do it. So I'm looking at Mark 7, and I'm giving you a verse because it's way better than me telling you my opinion. Here's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. And here we go. Mark 7:6. And their problem was, your people are not keeping the rules. And he said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, for it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. You hear that? You can move into doctrine when it's just opinion. Okay? And I'm just going to give you one topic. Fill in the blank. Modesty. What's the rule for modesty? I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to teach you an inch rule above your knee or below the knee, okay? I don't want to give you that rule unless it's in Scripture. In Scripture, though, we do have principles for modesty, right? And we have books about it. We can learn about it, but let's not go around and tell our young people the rules of modesty, okay? We can give general principles, but we don't want to be known as the church where we all have to wear this kind of dress or that. Okay, you hear me? Okay. Also, we are going to avoid allegorizing or spiritualizing. Oh, what's she talking about? Well, I'm going to give you a silly example. I just made this up. But here's the mom who says, look, women, you need to keep your house very tidy. You need to make sure you sweep the floor. And you know that parable of a woman who searched for her lost coin and swept the floor intensely. Is that the verse for keeping your house tidy? No, we've completely allegorized and spiritualized a principle of seeking the word of seeking the kingdom of God and turning it into a rule of sweeping. Okay, we're not going to do that. Okay. Now, well, I will say we've got to know the word. I've given you that, but let's not just know the epistles. We've got to know all of it. There's plenty in here. We know there's plenty, even of bad examples, people to avoid. So we get into the Old Testament. We work hard. We have to know the verse, how it actually applies, and not just something we made up or somebody, a favorite expositor said. And here's what John MacArthur said. There is no avoiding it. Studying the Bible is hard work. And that's like my gal who says, Caroline, what's that Greek word mean? I go, good, let's find out together. Because she wants to really know what is the word teaching us. And I relish that. I'll take that any day. I want us to get into the Scripture and understand it completely. So we need to know how to use it. And we need to be careful in how other people use it. I've already referred to the podcast or the book that may not use Scripture correctly. And y'all have heard of the Bereans, right? In the book of Acts? Well, we were in Greece last year, and we were driving down the road, and our driver says, oh, there's the town of Berea over there. I'm going, oh, I want to go there. And she goes, oh, it's just a bunch of houses. You know what was really valuable about the town of Berea was the people who wanted to study the word and examine whether what Paul said was true. It wasn't the buildings, so going there didn't mean anything, and actually we never did go there. But I value those people who really carefully studied the word and even evaluated what Paul said. Think of that. And you're evaluating, you're interpreting, you're listening because you have the Holy Spirit working in you. And you're making sure, and when it's validated and true, then you're going to hang on to it. Say, I know this is true. Scripture is, I'm going to do that, but my pastor said, because it's in the Word. Some of us will benefit by learning more and more about the Bible by teaching it. And don't we love that, huh? Any of you who are doing Bible study, any of you teaching through books of the Bible, hands, some of us will start. Okay, come on. Don't you learn a lot about the book of Ephesians if you've led a couple of ways through the book of Ephesians? Don't you, like, you get it? And now you know how it's structured. You don't have to go to seminary to do that. Just do the teaching. Or teach your kids. Or teach a young people's group. And you're going to find so many blessings because you will learn more about it. And you're going to learn how to use the Bible study notes. You're going to learn how to use all these tools, references that we have. You're going to study commentaries. You may get into examining different translations. Don't you see the benefit of learning and growing in that way compared to all other kinds of knowledge? Yeah. It's what I've learned from John Piper when he wrote his book, Don't Waste Your Cancer. He said, Don't, you know, you can spend so much time studying about your cancer. He says, don't spend more time there than in the scripture. Okay? And you can imagine that drive to learn everything there is and understand these terms and what does that test mean, that test. No, it's the Word of God, which is really going to be solid. That's going to keep you grounded during hard time. We also want to read the scriptures in context. Please, please don't pull a scripture out and just apply it without knowing the context. And when I read scriptures with my girls, we go through what happened right before that, what's happening right after, where, what does this little phrase mean? And that helps us avoid error, because we can definitely get misusing scripture if we don't understand it. And we want to learn about memorizing scripture. Some of us are good at that. I talked to somebody earlier, and she said, I want to really work on memorizing scripture. Yeah, there's so many tools, right? Y'all have seen those, huh? Flashcards. Hey, that's old-fashioned. There are apps on our phone, which fill in the blank. We used to do that in Sunday school, right? Eliminate the word and see if you can remember what words goes in there. Try to learn the words and where are they to be found, because you're going to grow in spiritual ways. And you're going to learn to use which scripture in the right place. Now, in your kitchen, you have all kinds of, you have drawers full of utensils, right? And I'm just going to take spoons. Like, you have big old ladles, and you have pierced spoons for drippy things, and you have iced tea spoons, and you have little tiny spoons, and you have soup spoons, right? You're going to use those appropriately. We also want to use scripture appropriately. We're not going to give, like, happy verses, like, everything's going to be okay to somebody who's had a grief in their family of the death of a loved one, say. You want to make sure you're using that appropriately. And you may take those verses that are dealing with God really does love you, even in these hard times. You want to use that verse, see? Now, you're not going to hurt people by giving a verse, but let's use it appropriately, okay? And I will tell you that personally, and you could probably give me testimony also. I've heard somebody give me a verse, but it really didn't land very well because they didn't understand my issue or didn't seem like it was the right thing for that time. So I'll just give you that. Now, I will also ask you to be sure to show patience and grace towards yourself. Start there. Well, I just heard a whole big message about the love of the Word, and I don't feel it, or I'm not there, I want to be there. Let's be patient and ask God for more grace to bring Himself to life through the Word. Okay? And we know, even Paul says, Jesus saved him in order to display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. Okay, if we haven't handled scripture well, maybe we just tacked a verse on to our own advice, or we're kind of hard-hearted about it, not understanding the real needs. Let's just realize God can take that and redeem it. Let's not give up. Let's not say, I'm not good at that. Let's just try to learn more, because as you grow, you see the Holy Spirit's working through you. Yes. He's making it happen through your willingness, and maybe you just know one or two verses, but you can offer those. You can also show grace and patience towards your friend, whoever you're talking to, and she may turn you down. She may say, okay, but you're not really listening, or she may say, okay, I want to learn the Bible, but I need somebody to help me learn how to do it. Let's do it together. And I've had ladies do that. I have a lady who comes over every few weeks. She's from my church. And we go through a book together. We're studying a book. It actually talks about the Bible, though. But we work together. And that's a sort of accountability to one another, isn't it? And we grow deep in our friendship because we're sharing things that matter. We're talking about important things. So, yeah, she's becoming more and more precious to me. And I will also remember that the Lord is the one who quickens the heart. Okay? I'm going to say scripture, I'm going to testify how authoritative it is and how appropriate it is. But God's the one who's going to have to convince them. And I had a systematic theology professor with two PhDs, and he's British, so he's really smart, right? But no matter how smart he is with his British accent, he can't convince anybody of the truth. It's the Holy Spirit. So don't think you have to be that smart. You have to be one who testifies, I believe. And don't you see that in Scripture, a lot of humble people being used, even people who are weak? Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. People like the prophets, I'm just now reading about Elijah and his weakness. And it's like, okay, he really struggled, but he's our example too, of one who held on to the Scripture, God's promises. So we always want to remember that the Word will accomplish what it's intended to when it goes forth. Now, I'm going to give you a story. I don't know if it's true. It might be, but it's a good story. Okay. It's about somebody in the hospital, and they went to visit this person in the hospital, and they thought, what am I going to give them out of the Bible? Well, I'm going to give them Psalm 23. Right? Very comforting to a person suffering in the hospital. So they read Psalm 23. And here comes a knock on the door. It's the chaplain. Chaplain comes in. I would like to read Scripture to you. Psalm 23. Let's read it. So here comes Psalm 23 again. And then here, another knock. Pastor comes in. I want to read the Bible to you. Let's read Psalm 23 together. This is why I'm not sure it's true. But why not three times? Why not take a passage that's dearly loved by people throughout history and by you and use it to minister to someone else? Does it matter if it's three times? No. It's God's Word going forth, accomplishing what it should expect it to do. So I will ask you to be encouraged, to delve into Scripture, make it a part of your life, make it more important to you than some of these things on our phones. And remember, we can use Scripture when we talk to our friends, because that is truth. We share truth, it has an effect. It will make a difference. I'm going to close with a verse. I'm going to change a couple words. Oh no. I'm going to change words to apply it to women, and this is in 2 Timothy 2, just the first two verses, and I'm going to say it like this to close. You, therefore, my sisters, instead of my son, Paul talking to Timothy, you, therefore, my sisters, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you've heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful women who will be able to teach others also. That's my prayer for you. So let's come before the Lord and ask for that. And Father, I do ask that you would bring us to a place where we appreciate your Word even more, and we seek it because we seek your face, and we seek to use it to minister to our friends, our family members. Let us be instruments of your Word going out so that we can make a difference in those we love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.